What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's September 12th, 2023. I'm Trey Crowder. That's Mark Agee. What's up, Mark?
Oh, just deep in thought, just thinking about this guy I overheard at the gym the other day saying that he knew that the Maui fire was started with a space laser because it didn't burn any of the blue cars. So I just been trying to ponder that for a little bit.
I got in a little mini Twitter rabbit hole today with this guy who was a former truther, but not just a truther, like a hardcore conspiracy theorist who now has renounced all that shit. He like saw the light or whatever. And he posted this clip of himself on a podcast talking about how it came to be. And it was a really long clip. I thought it was interesting, but the shit that he seemed rational and everything. And it was so wild to me that he ever believed the stuff he believed. Cause he got in this whole thing where he's like, you know, I was convinced that the devil was behind all this and the Antichrist was coming and it was being brought on by a new world order and all this stuff and whatever else. And I'm like, how does this dude ever, it didn't really cover how he came to believe that shit in the first place. But when it fell apart for him, actually, he said was part of it was Trump winning and Brexit, because he said they had already decided, apparently conspiracy theorists had already decided in 2016 that Hillary Clinton was the one who had been selected for the position of president. See, part of their whole thing is they don't believe in elections. They believe in selections. You know, you get put in the position, and they knew it was Hillary's. Everybody knew it. And also they believe in a new world order, right, which is, you know, prefaced by like unions, like the European Union, and there'd be North American Union, and all these other unions eventually leading to a new world order. So Brexit, them leaving the union, and then Trump beating Hillary, those two things didn't jive with him. And Sandy Hook, them talking about crisis actors and stuff, he said that can't be right because everybody knows that these people are being ritually sacrificed, right? So it's not fake. They're being sacrificed to the devil or whatever he had thought. So those were like the chinks in the armor for him, and it all fell apart after that. But it's like, I don't know. The whole conspiracy thing is wild. You know, 9/11 was yesterday. It's a big one. That's what started the conversation, actually, was him talking about 9/11.
It is funny when you think about it that way, because like if conspiracies were real, they wouldn't have let Brexit happen and wouldn't let Trump get elected, because they're just too like
right.
Brexit's bad for the global economy and for the new world order types, and so is Donald Trump because he wants to tear down NATO and shit. And it's like mass psychosis disproving conspiracy theory is sort of fucking interesting to me. Where it's like,
yeah, I agree. Yeah, I thought it was fascinating too. But then now, I bet a lot of those same people that guy was in chat rooms with, now they're the ones, you know, claiming that Donald Trump is the savior or whatever, you know, sent to, you know, save all the babies from having their adrenochrome harvested or whatever in QAnon and whatnot. So, you know, they pivot, they find a way, they make it all work, they slide the pieces into place.
I told that blue car story to Drew, and he was talking about, I forgot my earbuds at the gym too one day, and I heard these guys talking about how, you know, Kamala's the one of them that doesn't eat babies because her skin's bad. Like, what? One, her skin's not bad, but like, what the fuck are we even? Oh, God. I mean, if the deep state was real, they would have killed Trump because he can't be controlled. And he can't keep a secret. Like, he blurred out national security secrets on Twitter all the time. The CIA couldn't do a coup when Trump was in charge.
Right.
He fucking runs his mouth. That's why we know there aren't any aliens, because they told Donald Trump they're aliens. He would have tweeted they're aliens immediately. Yesterday was the anniversary of 9/11. Was it 22 years now?
Yeah.
And we're still just as crazy. Talking about, like, conspiracy theories, like, it comes up every year, but I watched the news clip again of like Tim Russert interviewing Donald Rumsfeld about Osama bin Laden's underground like supervillain lairs that had like, it looked like Moonraker base when they were talking about it. I'm like, God damn, we went fucking crazy, dude. Going crazy. Biden was in Asia for the G20, and his 9/11 memorial he went to, he stopped over in Alaska to visit the troops or whatever, and people on TV saying it's disrespectful because that's no way to celebrate 9/11. Somebody said celebrate. I was like, we're celebrating 9/11.
Yeah, thank you. Commemorate it, honestly. Yeah, you don't walk around like happy 9/11, everybody. What are you doing for 9/11? You guys got big plans, big 9/11 plans? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Might get there eventually. Becomes like a, you know, a day off or whatever. And then we start, you know, just using that as another reason to get drunk or whatnot. Who knows?
Yeah. DraftKings had to do, every year is a brand who does something really stupid. There were a couple this year, but some pizza brand put out a flag with star-shaped pepperonis. And to DraftKings had to apologize for doing a 9/11 themed parlay bet where you could bet all the New York teams on Sunday.
Well, dude, the New York teams, they had a rough go of it on 9/11 weekend. Your Cowboys destroyed the New York Giants 40-0. The Jets won, but it's a Pyrrhic victory because they lost Aaron Rodgers for the year after he played only four snaps. So, I mean, yeah, 9/11 was tough, you know, probably up there in the worst 9/11s that they've had, I think, you know.
Aaron Rodgers is half a 9/11 truther, like not yeah, really, right. but his teammates yeah. said he talks about 9/11 truther stuff. Yeah. And he ran for the 9/11 game, ran out waving an American flag. And there was a 9/11 truther group who was going to fly a banner over top of the stadium that said Aaron Rodgers knows the truth or something like that. I don't know if it ever actually happened or they were just talking shit. Maybe they didn't have money for a plane. But like,
yeah, it'd be funny if they didn't had the whole thing and then had to abort because he got hurt or something like that. They had to call it off. It's like, no, he's down.
The CAA blew his tendon out, Trey. It's something warms my heart when I see like Hooters put a 9/11 memorial up and said "Let Freedom Wing," and I'm like, okay, yeah. This is like just the tackiest fucking country on the planet. We really are like England's white trash cousins, man. And that's like, I love that about it. I see that. It really does. Like, we're fucking trash. It's awesome. DeSantis spent 9/11. He went to the ground zero. He went to ground zero with victims, 9/11 victims' families, and talked about, you know, no accountability for Saudi Arabia and Trump's financial ties to the kingdom. And I was like, yeah, corruption probably was the thing to go after Trump for a year ago. You're too late, Ron. But also, just like it probably wouldn't work because Republicans are objectively pro corruption, as we talked about a lot. So. I don't know, but it did. Did you ever see where Ari Fleischer, you know, Bush's former press secretary, he would live tweet the day as it happened, 9/11?
No, I saw that in outline. You said he's live tweeting. I was like, how do you live tweet 9/11?
It'd be like at 9:00 a.m. Oh. The plane said, President Bush is informed. We're on Air Force One. He makes this decision. We're going to shoot down Flight 93. All this okay. shit. But he stopped doing it. And if you're wondering why, coincidentally, he said he felt like he'd done it long enough after two decades. But also at the same time, he was hired to be the spokesman for LIV Golf, which is the Saudi-backed pro golf venture. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that's probably has nothing to do with it. Saudis did 9/11, and no one fucking cares. Invaded two different countries and are about to sign a military self-defense pact with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, well, they got all that money. You know, it's pretty sweet. They spread it around. It's nice for everybody. You know, who's in bed with them. But yes, it always has been, right? It's like, it's just an open secret. That doesn't even really count as a secret at this point. It's like they were behind it, or Saudi money at least, and they're still our boys geopolitically, I guess. Yep. And Afghanistan and Iraq both, or Iraq especially, is like, the fuck did we do? And just got the shit bombed out of them for years.
Yeah. We don't even go here. What's going on? Another thing before we get to the show, some economic numbers came out today, and this is pretty depressing. Well, it's contextually depressing. Childhood poverty rates doubled since last year. 12.4% of U.S. children living in poverty last year, which is, you know, one in eight American kids. And the poverty, if you wonder what the poverty rates are, it's like $29,000 in yearly income for a family of four, or $14,000 for a single person. Which I don't know how anybody could fucking live on $14,000 in this country for a household. Like, what house are you in? Last year, it was down to the previous year, 2021, which they had data available, was 5.2% for childhood poverty. So we had cut it a lot during expanded child tax credit. And here's a graph of it. We're still lower than pre-pandemic years. But the thing that, like, COVID forced our government to be a real government for a little bit. And we almost eradicated poverty, but in American context, getting out to 5.2% is fucking pretty as good as it's ever going to get here. And 5.2%, only 5.2% of kids, only 1 in 20 were hungry, and which is for the American left wing, social safety net, whatever you want to call it, it was a huge victory. And then they let the child tax credit, expanded child tax credit expire because Republicans didn't want to pay for it. And Joe Manchin helped them. All these things, it's never clear whether Joe Manchin's the only Democratic bad guy or he's the designated villain because he wants to take credit for it. But back when they let it expire, They dug up this quote. Manchin has told several of his fellow Democrats he thought parents would waste monthly child tax credit payments on drugs instead of providing for their children.
Yeah.
So
that type of shit just makes my blood boil, dude, because they all assume that. It's like they just hate poor people so much, but they're like, you can't give a poor person money. They're just going to buy fucking drugs with it because they're worthless pieces of shit. But they like say all this out loud. And like with kids, we talked about it not long ago. It's like you would think that like not having children be hungry would be like a universal, rallying cry, but they're like, they're making it a mission to, end free lunches. That would just spoil them. We wanted to spoil these kids by giving them food to eat when their sorry ass parents can't afford it. And it's just so like, explicitly shitty. And it's just part of their platform, their public platform. And yeah. Everybody's okay with that. Everybody on the right, evidently. It's disheartening.
Well, if Joe Manchin is curious, again, of the senators who are the bad guys here, 50 of them Republicans and just one of the one else that we're talking about as Amnesty Democrat. But the if you wanted proof that poor people would spend the extra money you gave them on food for their kids instead of drugs, it's right there in that fucking chart we just showed you, Joe Manchin. So fuck you. I hope your boat sinks. So we got a good show today. We're talking about Republicans trying to overturn the results of yet another election in Wisconsin after it's already been certified. Talking about the election of Janet Prosewitz. And we're talking about Joe Biden's imminent impeachment, too, at the top of the show. Yeah. So it's going to be fun.
Going to be fun. But before we get to all that, and producer Matt is with us as always, guys. It came close today. All right. He's a little bit under the weather and he still showed up for you guys. Get them videos in 15, 20 seconds late, just like every week. Okay. Because that's what you come to expect from this show. But keep it in mind. Be grateful for producer Matt today. This is Weekly Skews. I want to remind you of a few things before we continue. Number one, if you want to see me perform live, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. I'll be in Austin, Texas this weekend. That's going to be awesome. Big Ohio run right after that. The Lexington show was rescheduled for September 29th. Bunch of fun dates after that. So come and see me, treycrowder.com. Number two, if you watch this show and you like to watch, we appreciate that very much. But if you ever listen to podcasts or even have a podcast app, if you could use that app to go subscribe to this podcast on your app, that would be beneficial to us and it costs you nothing, so please consider it. Number three, also please consider pre-ordering my book Around Here and Over Yonder. Also, you can find that at treycrowder.com as well. It's a comedic travel guide me and Corey Forrester wrote. It's a silly good time. I'm talking about America, England, and Scotland. You should enjoy it, so check that out. And finally, if you like the show and want to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You can go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon and look me up. Either way works. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes. We cover things that don't come up in the main show or things that happen in between Tuesdays or just stuff we want to talk about. It's a good time. We hope you will think about it. Get some more skews in your life. Now, as Mark said, impeachment, all the rage right now. We'll be talking about that a little later. But first, we'll start with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, John Fetterman, for not treating Biden's impeachment with the gravitas it obviously deserves. I love this clip.
Ask you about this news that Speaker McCarthy has formally launched an impeachment in, or has said he's going to.
Oh my God, really? Oh my gosh. It's devastating. Ooh, don't do it. Please, don't do it. Oh no.
And I love the end of that clip too, because I was watching it and I was like, is he got his shorts on? And then as he walks off, the shorts come into frame. You're like, yep, classic every time.
Yeah. If he keeps treating Republicans with this level of appropriate disdain, he might win the presidency in 2028 with every electoral vote. Yeah. this is exactly how you handle this shit. Cause like, this is such a fucking idiotic clown show. All right. So like, there's no new evidence of any sort of Biden corruption. There's nothing there.
Right.
Right. And play that on a loop, man. So, last night, Nancy Mace went on CNN and Caitlin Collins is like, isn't it supposed to be the evidence that leads you to pursue an impeachment inquiry? Talking about the fact there's no evidence. And Nancy Mace goes, that's what the inquiry is for, to get more evidence.
Yeah, but haven't they been ostensibly doing that for like months now?
Yes.
Like that's like all they've been doing is attempting to gather evidence. And I feel like every 2 or 3 weeks they will cryptically say some version of like, you guys aren't going to believe that we got some serious stuff mounting up. They like seem to, you know, suggest that they've got something without ever actually producing anything. And then now they're just like, ah, fuck it. Let's just do it anyway. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, McCarthy don't really want to do it, right? He's kind of being held hostage by the lunatic caucus because that was part of how he got the speakership in the first place, was he had to agree to like just give them all his power essentially. So he like neutered himself in exchange for the title of Speaker of the House. So they're kind of forcing his hand.
So what's new here is not anything related to Joe Biden or corruption or whatever. It's the political dynamics because we're coming up on a government shutdown, which McCarthy also wants to stop. So Matt Gaetz were on the floor of the House this morning or yesterday and was like, Kevin McCarthy, you have not fulfilled any of the commitments you made to us in the deal you made to be Speaker. We haven't voted on term limits. We haven't dialed back the budget spending. We sub deficit, yada, 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 a bunch of stuff. We haven't held the Biden crime family accountable. All right. And so he essentially, well, the one thing I can do, we only have a bare majority in the House. I can't balance the budget. We're not going to get term limits. It's probably unconstitutional anyway. Yada, yada, yada. The one thing I can do is throw these morons their impeachment inquiry. So that's what he's doing. All right. Hoping they will notice the rest of the shit that he can't get done. So because Kevin McCarthy might lose his job in the next week, he's taking actions that will guarantee he loses his job in the near future.
Right.
So it's just like just kicking a can down the road the dumbest way possible. And this is going to be a political disaster for them for a lot of reasons. One, I don't even think they have the votes for impeachment. We'll get that in a second. Having an impeachment vote and losing it is going to look completely – it's going to be fun. So the second thing is it's not clear – like he didn't call for a vote in the impeachment inquiry because forget impeachment. He just probably doesn't have the votes for the inquiry. So he just announced they're going to do it, which is probably Trump's White House got a DOJ advisory opinion that said you can't do it without a vote to establish the inquiry. Right. So all this is legalistic bullshit. It doesn't really matter. Some of the politics is more fun. So Scott Perry, they did a big press conference today, and Scott Perry was a Republican congressman, was asked by some reporter about what evidence do you have, and he goes, just look at it. Just look at it. And like he listed off a bunch of shit that isn't based on anything. Like you couldn't even decipher it unless you have like somebody else made the joke, like you need a PhD in Sean Hannity to like understand any of this shit.
Right.
But his main thing was like, Biden has a big house. He on a government salary. It's like, yeah, a government salary of a couple hundred grand for like 50 years is probably enough to have a nice house, especially when you have great health care and a guaranteed federal pension coming. So like, I don't know. The fact that Joe Biden has a Corvette and a 4-bedroom house in Delaware doesn't seem like complete like conviction worthy to me. But what do I know?
Pretty much all of them, you know, seem to be loaded. And that's always been like, you know, I'm not saying they should make more, but they don't make as much as you might think that they would considering the power they have and whatnot, like from their job as a congressperson, but they all, you know, seem to be rolling in it. Not because I don't know the legalities of what they are and are not allowed to do, but whatever, it doesn't matter. They figure out things to do.
You get all your meals for free.
Right.
So I get the basic congressman salary is like a 235 grand a year, which isn't high rolling if you have to maintain two residencies, right? And go back and forth and stuff, even though you do get a ton of perks. But Biden is from Delaware. He was taking the train back and forth, keeping his one place. So like it's kind of an unfair system if you think about it. Like if you represent Northern Virginia, you only have to have one house. But that's why a lot of them are so bitter, they have to slot them sleep in their offices and shit. But like no one makes you take this job. You beg for this job. So shut the fuck up about it. Anyway, whatever. So this is like a funhouse version of Trump's impeachment because it's the exact same set of facts that got Trump impeached. Remember, like, because Trump was pressuring, withholding congressionally approved defense funding for Ukraine so they would investigate these Burisma charges. So that's what Trump was in first impeachment was about. And so now they're impeaching Biden because they want to do the same fake investigation that Ukraine refused to do. This is also, and by the way, Trump's Justice Department already tried to do the sham investigation. In 2020, Bill Barr, Trump's last AG, was he had like five AGs the last week, the last congressionally approved one, looked into these claims and failed to find any evidence. The investigation was closed after 8 months. Bill Barr looked into this for 8 months and couldn't find jack shit and called it off, all right? So if Bill Barr wouldn't do it, what are you guys going to do?
Yeah.
But the main thing is like, the political dynamics here, like I understand what they're trying to do, what they think they're going to do. So Trump's going to go on trial early next year and is going to hear nonstop news coverage of Trump corruption, right? Trump fraud, Trump trying to overthrow the election. They want to throw enough smoke out there where the voters will be like, well, both these guys are corrupt. Same, right?
Right.
And so like they did this with Hillary and the Benghazi hearings, and no point going to Benghazi, but after trying to figure it out and doing a good faith effort to think to see what they think happened other than a colossal fuck up or maybe a fuck up or maybe confusion, there's nothing there, no corruption. It's just like a bad thing that happened. But they had hearing after hearing after hearing after hearing after hearing on Benghazi, accusing Hillary of being wrapped up in it. Somehow they generated enough smoke where enough people thought that something bad happened with Hillary and Benghazi.
Like, right. Yeah. Yes. Like Charlie Daniels, country music legend, right. Charlie Daniels. I don't know if you remember, but Charlie Daniels used to tweet.
Benghazi ain't going away.
Benghazi is not going away every day until he died. Oh, actually, yeah. When we did those. We did those Zoom sketches where we pretended to be right-wing lunatics, and your character, who was a conspiracy theorist, your background, your virtual background, was Charlie Daniels tweeting Benghazi ain't going away. Yeah, fun times. Anyway.
It's worth mentioning that the first time Kevin McCarthy was trying to become Republican leader, his effort was derailed by two things. One, extramarital affair, which no one talks about anymore. And two, he openly admitted that the purpose of the Benghazi hearings were to drag down Hillary's approval ratings, that there was nothing else going on. He said that out loud because he's a fucking idiot. And that's the one reason the caucus soured on him. But like, even standards are so low, getting slower so fast that like people even forget that happened. But the thing is, like, one of the reasons this is stupid, and I like John Fetterman, I think it's going to backfire, is they've already succeeded in this. Like, here's a CNN poll. A CNN poll recently found that the majority of Americans think that Joe Biden was involved in his son's business dealings and he acted inappropriately with the investigation into his son. And 86% of Republicans say they think Hunter funneled millions of dollars to his father, a long-running scheme to help Joe Biden profit off his political positions, positions. So like they've already got the smoke without fighting any fire.
Yeah, I was thinking that already. It's like what you said. It makes sense that that's what they're trying to do. But I was thinking it's like but everybody in their base already thinks that, you know, it's the Biden crime family. They all they've already sold that to them, you know, so why do they even need to do it? Is it a twisted, bizarro version of how you remember when shit was going on with Trump I'd be like, the impeachment thing, dude, it's going to fail. Like it's not going to actually, you know, pan out. It's like, okay, but they have to do something. Right. Because he had actually done shit. But like their line is that Biden has done shit. Right. So like, do they have the same? Is that do they make the same argument to their people on their side? It's like, well, we have to act. We have to, because somebody has to stand up and push back against this horrific corruption coming from Joe Biden and his family, which is, of course, bullshit. But that like that's what they're telling everybody. OK. And their people believe it.
But the evidence. Well, one, Trump did bad stuff.
Actually. I know.
Like it was recorded.
And everybody knew it. Right.
It was recorded on his air quote perfect.
Yeah. The evidence was like public. The whole world. Right. So all the shit that Trump has done, he did in front of everybody. And you'd think that'd be enough to say it's like, that's what makes it different. Cause I was thinking earlier, it's like, I've already seen some Democrats being like, this is a witch hunt. Right. And I just know they're going to be like, all right. So when it's Biden, it's a witch hunt. It's like, no, when it's something where there's no evidence and nothing happened, then it's a witch hunt. Like Trump, it's not a witch hunt with Trump because he did that shit. That's what makes it different. But they just, to them, it's just like we're being hypocritical because it's just all politics. It's all political in nature or whatever. And it makes you want to pull your fucking hair out, your beard out in your case.
The point I was trying to make is like Democrats had to act on the first impeachment related to Ukraine because the evidence was public and Trump had done fucked up shit. Like reminder, like Congress had appropriated the money to fund Ukraine to try to fend off Russia before they invaded. Right. So like what Trump was doing was violating constitutional separation of powers, trying to withhold congressionally appropriated funds. He did not have the authority to withhold. All right. What they're this is like if Democrats made up the transcript of the phone call,
right,
and then released it and then said right. We have to act. This is like yes. this is not remotely the same fucking thing.
No,
like,
I know it's not. I'm saying like to them, like they think it because they believe all the bullshit, right? So like they think
Kevin McCarthy doesn't.
Like, no, I don't mean him. I'm talking about like their base, you know.
Okay.
Like,
but the point I'm trying to get to is like they've already succeeded. A majority of Americans already think Joe Biden did something corrupt in Ukraine with his son, right? So the only thing this impeachment inquiry hearing can succeed in doing is showing that there's nothing fucking there. Mm-hmm. They're undoing their own work because Kevin McCarthy doesn't – when I say Kevin McCarthy doesn't have the votes, like Ken Buck, who's a hardcore GOP member, went on CNN and is like, there's no fucking evidence for any of this shit. It doesn't exist. Buck's not some squish. He was like one of the founding members of the Freedom Caucus. And he's, for saying that out loud, he's been threatened with losing his committee assignments yep. and maybe a leadership-backed primary challenge. All right.
Yep. Another rhino about to go down. Get a true believer in there.
And it's not just Buck. It's Dave Joyce said, not seeing any facts or evidence. Don Bacon, there should be a direct link in evidence. Dusty Johnson of South Dakota, I have not seen that evidence. Four votes is his whole majority. If Kevin McCarthy, if they can't impeach Joe Biden in the House, you're going to look like utter fucking rubes because they are utter fucking rubes. Mm-hmm. This is like a political like Christmas gift to Joe Biden. So that's why John Fetterman was laughing is my point here. So we talked about Joe Biden being over at the G20. I thought it was a big opportunity to talk about like there's so much coverage about Joe Biden being old now, which right. is like. He's old. We all know he's old. He's lost a step. There's no point in denying it. I hope I'm still have the mental acuity even he does when I'm 70. What is he? 78? Something like that. 80? Yeah, 80. He's 80. So like, but like, it doesn't, there's no point, but like, what, I'm not sure what is to be done about it. It could possibly, like if he keels over next June, it could be a Ruth Bader Ginsburg situation where we all feel like, holy shit, he fucked up, right? But it's already we're already strapped into this roller coaster at this point, right? Like, there's nothing that could be
done. Right.
Like,
but the whole his trip, I actually brought this up on the Well Read podcast, which we recorded earlier today, just talking about how I couldn't do like he is 78 or 80 or whatever he is, and like it's this narrative, you know, he's old, he's weak, he's senile, he's not competent, all this stuff that they say. And then on this trip he's on, it's like he's been going for like 36 hours straight or something, like flying across the country, stopping in Alaska, doing all this shit, then going to Vietnam and doing all this, then flying straight back and doing all this. And like there was a funny clip I saw of Peter Ducey on Fox News accidentally saying, he's like, well, you know, he might be a little tired because he has been going for over 24 hours straight East Coast time. He's been very busy. And then he's like, you could tell he's like, oh, shit, I probably shouldn't be admitting that, because it kind of shits on the notion that he's this like, right. you know, sleepy old papaw who can't. Because I'll tell you right now, dude, I would be struggling after a schedule like that. Like, I travel a lot, like that fucking, that'd be hard. And I'm 37, you know, like, so. I just think it's funny.
There's a layup here. It's probably too late. Like, one of the reasons you didn't want some like open primaries, because it would have been a mess with the Democratic Party, because it causes a lot of hard feelings. People are still fighting over the 2016 Democratic primary, for example. But like, so if you had an open primary, obviously Kamala would think it's her turn, but she's not very popular. And then like, who else is getting in the race? And people would get really, really mad and have like, you know. So that's one reason you don't want to do it. Like, I read a column earlier today from Jonathan Shade at New York Magazine, who was like, they could have nominated like Gretchen Whitmer, Raphael Warnock, J.B. Pritzker, who's the governor of Illinois. Like, all these probably would have been better candidates. I'm like, yeah, sure, but like, that's a risk too. None of these things is risk free. But it's talking about the age thing. He made this point about Shade does some weird takes sometimes. This sort of rang true to me, but it says, Trump's narcissist, talking about how Trump's only like 3.5 years younger than Biden, but doesn't get this for whatever reason. And it's like, Trump's narcissism as a childlike quality does not register as old. His lack of concern with making any sense or following a train of logic frees him from having to pause or stumble over his words. It's like, so Trump's too dumb to be seen as old because he presents as a child.
Right. He is seen as dumb, though, for right. sure. I mean, there was the whole thing with the mental competency test and all that. But you're right. It doesn't it doesn't get presented as he's too old for this. It's just like, this guy's a dipshit, you know, which is
right,
you know, which is different.
But how is that seen as an argument in his defense? It's so weird. Anyway, the realistic solution, which won't happen, but probably makes the most sense for voters who are concerned about Biden's age and may possible inability to finish his second term, would be to replace Kamala with a more popular vice presidential figure who the public would be happy to hand over the duties of the presidency to.
Right.
But that wouldn't be without its risks either. And by the way, not talking about Kamala like being in the unemployment line, she'd be on like corporate boards making millions of dollars. But like, it's a rock and a hard place situation. No one wants to have that fight, so that's why no one's going to do it.
Yep. Speaking of a hard place, our honorable mention for Daily Dumbass and I is anybody who didn't turn on C-SPAN looking for John Kennedy After Dark. This is some fun stuff here.
All boys aren't blue. And I will quote from it. I put some lube on and got him on his knees. And I began to slide into him from behind. I pulled out of him and kissed him while he masturbated. He asked me to turn over while he slipped a condom on himself. This was my ass. And I was struggling to imagine someone inside. He got right on top and slowly inserted himself into me. It was the worst pain I think I have ever felt in my life. Eventually, I felt a mix of pleasure with the pain.
All right, man. Close quote. So,
there's like five or six of these clips, by the way. We're not going to show them all, but it
goes on
reading,
forever.
He got reading more and more of this smutty stuff. And it's
one about a strap on and like wanting to suck someone's dick. And like, it's like just deeply uncomfortable stuff being read in that voice in this setting. By the way, this was a Senate hearing about book bans. And the book he's reading from is All Boys Aren't Blue, which is a memoir about a guy named George M. Johnson. It's basically a series of essays about growing up gay and black in New Jersey and Virginia. And this book is already heavily banned. Like, I can understand why you wouldn't want your 12-year-old reading that, 13-year-old reading it.
Yes.
It's labeled young adult.
Right.
And unless a teacher's requiring it, like, 16-year-old, anyway, if a 16 to 17-year-old wants to read this book, like, if you're afraid of it, are you afraid of it turning them gay, or what are you worried about?
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, what kind of library is this that you're like, teachers are not, assigning it or whatnot. And it's like, who's it for? Young adult. Yes. That's like older teenagers, right? Like, it's not meant for 10, 11, 12-year-olds. Cause I wouldn't want my 12-year-old reading that, but like, a fucking teenager, dude, 16 or 17-year-old. It's like, have any of these people ever met, 16 and 17-year-olds, dude? Like, I mean, I remember when I was, they're the filthiest animals on planet Earth, most of them. You know what I mean? Like, you're not, like, a book like this is not gonna, you have any idea what they're watching on their phones, the shit they have access to and whatnot all the time? Like, it's just such an overreaction.
I don't have kids. Like, I can understand a parent being like, I'd prefer my kid not to read this, but this book's like, of course, John Kennedy is in favor of book bans. So he's picking the worst book you could find, which, by the way, I'm saying worst, like it's a bad book. I'm not saying that.
Most graphic.
He's reading the most graphic section of the most graphic. This book is already one of the most banned books in America. So like, it's school boards in at least 10 states have removed the book from their libraries. So like, this book is not out there after your kids. The American Library Association's Office of Intellectual Freedom named it the third most banned and shunned book in the United States of the year. Toni Morrison's Bluest Eye is already on this list, by the way, which, like, I read that book when I was 17 or 18. It has some pretty graphic descriptions of, like, sexual abuse, because, like, Toni Morrison really suffered that. It's based on her, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not sure what you were shipping an 18-year-old off to Iraq, but you want to read about butt fucking. But, like, so, but the funniest anecdote I found in this book, in 2021, a school board member and retired teacher in Flagler County, Florida, filed a criminal complaint against the superintendent for carrying this book in the library, objecting to its mentions of masturbation or oral sex. The Flagler County Sheriff's Office found the content of the book was not a violation of law and did not warrant further investigation. So he's like, hello, 911, my 17-year-old learned about butt fucking.
Yeah.
The sheriff, The sheriff had to be like, no, ma'am, your 17-year-old did not just learn about butt fucking. Sorry. it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, here's another segue for you. Speaking of butt fucking, Wisconsin Republicans are trying to do that to the good people of the cheese state. I'm not sure, you know, they got cheese and beer and the Badgers. But, yeah, they're up to some bullshit up there in the Great White North.
Yeah, so we talked about the election of it was a, you know, off-year election for Supreme Court. It was a hugely, you know, a lot of money invested in it because for a swing seat in the Supreme Court in a term where they'd be dealing with like whether or not abortion's still illegal in Wisconsin and you know, whether or not they should have fair electoral maps for their state legislature. And Janet Prosewitz won by like 200,000 votes in double digits. For context, Joe Biden won Wisconsin by 21,000 votes. So it was a pretty significant mandate, and that didn't hit the Republicans. So they're going to impeach her before she's even heard a case. Now,
right.
the grounds for impeaching her are that she openly said she hasn't said she'll recuse from abortion cases and the gerrymander maps cases, even though she said how she'd rule on them. In an election campaign, they're saying she should be punished because she was honest about her stances.
Right.
For an elected position.
I'm law dumb, but like, is there any actual basis for that argument they're making at all? I get that a judge is supposed to be impartial or whatever, but it's like, you know, everybody knew how fucking Amy Coney Barrett felt about abortion when she went through, and then, you know, and Kavanaugh too, and no one expected them to sit out.
The game they play is when they're asked about it, they say, well, in order to remain impartial, I declined to say how I'd rule on hypothetical future cases, right? So they
but
do,
it's also like they all
lie. They're lying.
Right. That's the other thing I was going to say is like every one of them has their own positions on these various things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like if they say it out loud, now they have to recuse themselves. Do you know? You understand what I'm saying? It's like they all have a stance on it. And, you know, depending on how they align politically, you could probably guess their stance on it. So that's supposed to like recuse you from ruling on anything if you have like.
Yeah, I want to talk about argue about whether or not elected judges are a good thing in a little bit. But like before we get there, I want to talk about like the cynicism of this move. Right. Because like they wouldn't impeach or remove her. That's how like cynical this game is, because they don't actually think she did anything wrong. They actually referred her to a judicial ethics commission that said, no, she's fine. And then even though they don't have anything to throw against her, what they do is the House in Wisconsin would vote to impeach her there, after which she'd be suspended until the Senate decides her fate. But the Senate could decide not to do that and leave her in complete limbo and leave the court, deadlocked 3-3 and not able to do anything. And that seems to be their plan if they move forward with this. And the Democrats only have one point of leverage here, and that's like public pressure. There's no power they can exercise here to stop them from doing this. Now, if they did this, Prosewitz could resign, in which case Tony Evers would get to appoint a replacement. But then a special election would be called, and they have to do all this over again like next year. So, like, this is just like a try to keep the gerrymandered maps one more term and to make abortion legal for at least a little while. Again, this is all about maps and preserving the power. Just a few numbers here. Again, Biden, they have a Democratic governor, Tony Evers. Joe Biden won the state by 21,000 votes. This is not a hardcore Republican state. This is
right,
a heavily big state.
But it's ran, it like, the state legislature is hardcore, but they have a super majority. I remember when this Prosewitz election was happening, we talked about it on here and talked about how Wisconsin has like a Republican super majority and they're very authoritarian and all this, despite the fact that, it's at worst a purple state, if not,
they might be the worst state Republican party in the country. North Carolina might be a close second, but here's some numbers here for how gerrymandered it is. 63 of the 99 assembly seats and 23 of the 33 Senate seats on the map lean towards Republicans. In 2018, this gerrymander proved strong enough to allow Wisconsin Republicans to win a supermajority of seats in the assembly, despite losing the vote for every statewide office and the statewide legislative vote by 8 percentage points, 54 to 36. So they got 46% of the vote and a 2/3 majority in the state house. All right. No matter how much the voters of Wisconsin want to elect a Democratic legislature, it's mathematically impossible. The thing is, they already have a natural gerrymander. It's how greedy they're being, because a lot of Democratic votes are packed into into Milwaukee. So like, the only way the Democrats can make an air quote fair map of like to make it like the state house even would be to do one of those crooked ass their own crooked gerrymander spider web each reaching into like Milwaukee to steal votes. They probably wouldn't do that because it would look hinky. But like, Republicans won't take a bare majority. They want a super majority.
Well, that made me think about how like a lot of the states, you know, America's a big country. States are big, and a lot of the red in any red state, especially. It just feels like at the state level, you're always going to be fucked, you know, in large part because of what you just said and described. Like the city, it's going to be little pockets where the cities are that have a lot of people in them, mm-hmm. right? But that's blue. And then everything, all the other, and you cut it up in all these other districts, most of which cover, you know, big red rural areas and whatnot. And the numbers just are not in your favor at the end of the day. And it keeps them having a disproportionate amount of power. In a lot of places. Like,
in places like Texas, Republicans do the other version of this, sticking the spider legs into Austin to like pick to make sure that you steal some Democratic votes, but not enough to sway a district. But they don't have enough. It makes it hard to get a Democrat majority anywhere. You can steal off one Democratic district and so deep inside Austin and pick off the rest of the voters. It's like it's very cynical. I don't really have a perfect answer to this, but how do you feel about the idea of elected judges versus appointed judges?
I mean, I always kind of thought, like when I was younger, without, you know, not really even thinking it through that well, I always kind of thought it was a little weird that there are judges that are elected, sort of, because it just feels mm-hmm. to me like it should work differently. Like you should, you know, where, and I know I get now they have to be appointed and whatnot, but like, you know, you should have to like, prove yourself in the system, like have a track record, establish yourself, and like sort of move up in a way that's like actually, based on merit and whatnot. But I realized that all that's going to happen is they're going to be appointed by whoever's in power at the time. And so I don't know. It's a tough question.
And at a time where like federal judges, especially Republican appointed federal judges, are openly partisan and openly and nakedly partisan in a way that like, I mean, Trump ran saying, if you elect me, I will appoint pro-life conservative judges, which he did. So at least that's honest, at least. But when Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh get up in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee and say, like, I have actually not decided how it ruled on this case if it came before me, they're just, you're asking them to lie. And so, like, per se, which is just being punished for being open in her campaign about what she believed and what she would do. So that seems utterly bizarre to me. But like, especially the current, like there's another Supreme Court corruption scandal this week where it doesn't matter. But basically, Jenny Thomas was working with Leonard Leo, the guy behind the Federalist Society, way sooner than anyone thought before. And she worked on getting rid of campaign finance laws at the Supreme Court. So then Leonard Leo could give her a bunch of money to help her fund her husband's lavish lifestyle. So it's like a snake eating its own tail of corruption type shit. So I would rather vote for Clarence Thomas' replacement is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He was up for election. At this current moment, that's how I feel about it.
Right.
Here's a GOP bigwig in Wisconsin by the name of Rick Eisenberg, writing in the Milwaukee Journal in 2008. Appointment doesn't drive out politics. It just moves it from the campaign trail to the hearing room and, of course, the back room. And I was right. Like, that sounds about right to me.
But yeah.
So, but now they're worried about things a judge said on the campaign trail. The guy she ran against, Dan Kelly, on the campaign trail tried to do that dance that Republican judges in the federal judiciary do in the committee hearings. Are like, well, actually, I think it would be unwise. Like, so there's an abortion case coming up this term. How are you going to vote on it? I've committed myself to not making any predetermined decisions about it. Like, you're fucking lying. You're a hardcore pro-lifer. We know your stance on this shit. And because he lied, they think he's the better candidate to be a judge.
right.
You voters hated his stances. So, like, Perna Sewitz does have a recourse here. She could file a lawsuit based upon her First Amendment rights or some shit. I don't really understand how that's going to work because impeachment is a political process and, like, the state house can do it because they feel like it.
I guess the First Amendment, is it related to, like, her? The argument is to say that she had the right to say the shit she said in the first place and, like, that's being held against her. And so, and
remember, there's a state legislator in North Carolina who was basically brought in to run as a ringer as a Democrat and then switch parties. Like she said, she was pro-choice, then became pro, then switched the Republican Party and voted for an anti-abortion law. It's like, so how is that? Like that's the exact opposite of what happened here. It's like the really the voters in North Carolina have a fucking huge beef, like the opposite of the, on the other side of this coin. So we're talking about Wisconsin Republicans maybe being worse than the country. Here's a headline from the New York Times: a breathtaking contempt for the people of Wisconsin. Because this is like a three-pronged attack on democracy. One, you got gerrymandered supermajorities in the state legislature. Now they're which they're using to cripple the court, so the court can't give power back to the people to actually elect fair, elect you know, use a fair map to elect a real legislature. But they also, after the last gubernatorial election, when Tony Evers replaced Scott Walker, they did a what do you call it, a lame duck session where they changed all the rules to take power away from the governor, which Scott Walker signed.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's so fucking sorry and shady and like and just, you know, yeah, just bald faced bullshit, man.
Yeah.
Taking their ball and going home, you know.
They have a rigged supermajority in the legislature, which they're using to rule both the executive branch and the judicial branch. And there doesn't seem to be any Democratic lever to take power away from them.
Right. Vote to replace the guy, but then they neuter all that guy, that position's power. So now the guy that you voted to, you know, to get in there can't do shit. So it's irrelevant. And then, you know, if like that, if he loses to a Republican, they'll do the same thing in reverse. They'll re-empower. Mm-hmm. Well, they couldn't, I guess, because he would be, they'd have to wait till the new guy came in, whatever. They'd figure something out.
Right.
Yeah. Like you said, it's just all, it's also cynical and fucked up.
The Speaker of the House in Wisconsin, a guy named Robin Voss, who, so he led the effort to take away Tony Evers' power. The stuff they did was like take away his ability to make voting easier. And he previously led a charge to like give Scott Walker more power, but then he said when Tony Evers was elected, said we need to rebalance power of the legislature. He one of Tony Evers' like campaign pledges was to remove Wisconsin from a lawsuit seeking to overturn the Affordable Care Act, and they made it so he couldn't do that. I guess they gave that power to the Attorney General or some shit. In 2021 Politico like they rigged it in such a way. Then 2021 Politico wrote that Robin Voss was effectively the shadow governor of Wisconsin. So this guy who's elected in a gerrymandered district with, I don't know, what's a state legislator get, like 10,000 votes, is effectively the governor of Wisconsin.
Right.
This is also ridiculous. If you're wondering who Robin Voss is, he was Reince Priebus's college roommate, Trump's former chief of staff, because all these motherfuckers, there's like 12 of them who run everything.
Yeah. Very much an old boys club.
Yeah. After the 2020 election, Voss, who used to be anti-Trump, but got smacked for it, went all in on election denialism. He spent like $1 million of Wisconsin taxpayer money investigating, funding this guy named Michael Gableman to investigate fraud. Gableman found jack shit, turned out to be a total crank. And then Voss fired him because I guess Voss wasn't hardcore enough into election denialism, so Gableman supported his primary opponent. This is like, these are all such fucking snakes, man. So Voss fired him. You're wondering how much he cares about judicial impartiality when it's not Jana Protasiewicz. In February 2019, Voss defended Brian Hagedorn, a judge running for a seat in the Supreme Court, amid reports that Hagedorn had founded a school in 2016 that allowed for expulsion of students and faculty if they were gay. Voss said he believed Hagedorn could rule fairly on LGBT issues. So here's a guy's openly anti-gay. And
right.
Voss is like, I don't believe him. I think he's actually fair to gay people.
Yeah. I'm sure his argument would be like, well, you know, okay, so he has that position, but he can still be impartial as a judge based on the facts of any given case that go before him or whatever. I'm sure is what that guy would say, but they're not giving Protasiewicz the, you know, same luxury or the benefit of the doubt or whatever. You know what I mean? It's
why give her the benefit of the doubt that these obviously corrupt cases and bullshit laws, she's already researched them and found them to be transparently unfair, which the majority of Wisconsin voters think the maps are unfair. Like by a 60% margin, they support like nonpartisan, the maps be drawn by nonpartisan commission. But that's a no-go. There was a news story today. Rich Voss went to Tony Evers, like, I have a compromise position. My compromise position is I draw the maps. And right. Tony Evers is like, fuck you. No, that's not what we're doing here. That's not a compromise. But by the way, talking about the Republican Party is objectively pro-corruption. Voss somehow spends a lot of taxpayer dollars on trips and perks for himself. And he's also a landlord. Of course he is. Like $5 million in properties. And he rid COVID funds to go straight to landlords instead of helping people stay in their houses. So there you go with that. They've also – another thing, the weird thing they're doing with elections in Wisconsin. Currently, Wisconsin elections are ran by a nonpartisan, a lady by the name of Megan Wolf. And they're trying to fire her for reasons that are a bit nonsense. She's nonpartisan. She's like a background in IT. She's been on the job since 2018. It's not even clear they can fire her because they illegally rehired her. This is such a weird fucking, like, I can't figure out how to describe this because they reappointed her without a majority. And now they're trying to fire her, but a lot of the state's lawyers are like, well, you can't fire her because you didn't technically hire her the correct way. But
it's like the opposite of you can't fire me, I quit. You know what I mean?
Right,
like
right.
You can't fire me because you didn't hire me right in the first place. I'm still here, still doing this job. Don't know how that happened. But
they're so corrupt, they forget to follow the rules even if they're not doing something corrupt. So what's happened here is I gassed up on 2020 conspiracy theories. They think she was in on the plot to steal the election from Trump or something. So they had a big hearing about whether or not, I don't know, she worked with the Venezuelan satellites or whatever. And so she didn't show up for the hearing. And they said the fact she didn't show up for the hearing was proof of her guilt or something. But the hearing was dominated by conspiracy theorists. Let me quote here. That hearing attracted dozens of election skeptics who repeated widely debunked claims about the 2020 election call for Wolf to be fired or even arrested. And the response to that by this Republican named Dan Fagan as a state senator says she didn't bother to show up to her own public hearing. What I heard instead were numerous concerns from Wisconsinites around the state of lost faith in the job she was doing as an administrator. So she held a lunatic hearing that she didn't show up for. She wanted to be yelled at by lunatics and use that as proof that she's guilty because the lunatic said so.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, like Joe Biden, send the 82nd Airborne into Wisconsin to reestablish democracy or something. I don't know, I don't know what the fuck to do here.
Guilty because a lunatic said so is like all the rage right now. You know what I mean? It's like, that's all it takes. It's kind of our whole thing in this country at present. Matt, you got to, if you're still there, Matt, you've been doing a great job, buddy. We appreciate you. You put up some questions and comments for us. Can I get a beer? Says Mark knows his stuff. Am I missing why the quotation marks are there?
All bullshit. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. I know a bunch of bullshit.
You're right. But yeah.
I can't understand. Like, it's just like if you're a voter of Wisconsin, you're like, I want to organize my way out of this. Like, we have a 52% Democrat majority. We have zero power. Like, this is usually the kind of situation where people resort to terrorism. I'm not saying that, but like, what is the fucking way out of it? It's like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Take control of the state's cheese inventory somehow, you know.
Yeah.
I guess that would count as terrorism. Hold the cheese hostage.
We've taken power over all the state's cheese. The cheese will not be released until you give it
until you meet our demands. Yeah, exactly. That'd be effective. Diana McKenzie says firing your IT person can only end well.
There's like the 2024 election might be a mess because a lot of election administrators have been just left their jobs because they've been made a living hell even if they're not getting death threats. So I'm not sure, like, who's going to run this shit in an orderly fashion because it does require some, like, expertise and organizational abilities. You can't just appoint your redneck cousin Fred to fucking run a county election.
At least this is a relatively unimportant election, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like, at least that's the case in this scenario.
But what's going to happen? But they're building in the unfairness into the thing. So if all the Democratic jurisdictions have professionally run orderly elections and all the hardcore red districts are chaotic without enough forms and machines and stuff because you got paranoid people who don't want to use voting machines and they don't trust anyone to count the ballots and the ballots are all rigged or whatever. They're only fucking themselves, but that'll only make them more paranoid. The QAnon people are going to start killing other QAnon people because Biden still won. It's going to be fucking crazy.
It is going to be fucking crazy, man. I don't know what to think or expect. Eric Landry says, hey, fellas, what about this No Labels gang threat? Did we talk about them on a bonus?
Yeah. Right? We did a whole episode on it. But, like, yeah, well, I think we brought up this. They're a naked – they're either a grift or a scam to get Trump reelected or a grift and a scam to get Trump reelected. So, like, there's no, it's all Trump donors trying to, like, you know, annoy the, it's former Democratic operatives who are mad at the party taking money from Trump donors to do something.
Yeah. But yeah, if you sign up on the Patreon and look through the archive there, if you just not that long ago, I'd say 3-4 eps ago, something like that, you could find it. D. Riley says, my backwoods Georgia county election administrator is a buddy of mine's, 2 packs of Virginia Slims a day. Mama, ain't a damn person intimidating her anytime soon. Believe that, buddy. I know that's right.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's like, I just keep seeing these stories about, I'm a county elections administrator in a rural county. I make $28,000 a year. I went to college for political science, just went and moved back home. I don't have any interest in politics other than running this election, and I don't want to die over it. So, and I get it. Yeah.
Thank you, Christopher. Christopher Bestland or Bestland says, hit that like button. Yes, please. Like, and like, share, subscribe, tell your friends, leave us a 5-star review, subscribe to the audio version, all that good, tech stuff.
Yeah.
Jimmy Naughton says, Mark, what's up with North Korea and Russia? Is that North Korea?
So Russia had to beg some weapons, trying to beg weapons out of North Korea, which, if you know anything about the Korean War, is a pretty hilarious and humiliating reversal of fortune for the great Russian Empire. I guess Kim Jong-un was he has like a militarized train, which pretty sweet, got to be honest. You got like the Snowpiercer train full of guns and shit. He was like a souped up Batman train to Russia to talk to Vladimir Putin about maybe lending him some weapons or trading some weapons. I don't know.
They really, you talk about a bad PR move, invading the sovereign nation of Ukraine, was one for Russia. Cause like, I felt like, I mean, at this point it seems ridiculous. Everybody knew Russia was crazy and all this shit, but I feel like for a long time, people generally believed, like, you know, you don't really want to fuck with Russia, you know, as a rule, like, you would prefer to not fuck with Russia if you can help it. But now it's just like, they've just really made asses out of themselves. I'm not saying, you know, we should now fuck with Russia. I'm just saying they've really outed themselves as being, you know, not the military superpower that they tried to project themselves as for a long time.
Yeah, like, that's to do with like competency in the officer corps and corruption among their like military industrial complex as much as it does. Like, I still would not fuck with an individual member of the Spetsnaz. No. You ever watch Spetsnaz training videos on fucking YouTube?
Yeah.
If you guys want to have a fun evening, pour yourself a whiskey and watch Spetsnaz training videos. They crack center blocks with their heads. Like, they set center blocks on fire and crack them with their heads. These are fucking lunatics.
Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't fuck with a Russian bus driver. Right. Like, I'm not going to fuck with a Russian anything. I just mean that, like, yeah, the military itself. Like, I saw one of their commissioners or some kind of official just said last week that the Ukraine was just a stepping stone to the rest of Europe. Right. And it's like, I don't know how you still say that with a straight face, but like, you got to get through Ukraine first, you know?
Yeah.
Jimmy Naughton follows up and says, I'm sure North Korea is a trusted arms manufacturer.
Well, I know their anti-aircraft guns work because he uses them to execute members of his family. So he's got that going for him. But yeah, I mean, I'm going numbers off the top of my head right now, but I remember seeing like Russia, if they did total mobilization right now, could only make like 2 million artillery shells a year, and they burned through 10 million last year. So their capacity to keep maintain this war doesn't seem like it's possible. And now Ukraine's hitting targets deep inside Russia. It's like, man, I'm not sure how this ends, but I wish it would just end. You know,
Edward Westerfield says Russia is a gas station with nukes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, them having the nukes.
Didn't Obama make that? I think that was Obama's joke or something.
I've definitely heard that.
Yeah.
Heard that before. Allison Haygood says, hey, how about Elon Musk working for Putin by shutting off Starlink and preventing the Ukraine troops from being able to communicate? Yeah.
We did a whole, when that first, what's his name? Woody Allen's ex-stepson, Ronan Farrow. Ronan Farrow did that piece in New Yorker. We talked about it on a Patreon episode. And like, there had been rumors that he'd fucked over Ukraine with Starlink. And then Ronan Farrow documented it. And then there's another story about a specific instance where Russia was going to use like, what do you call it, submarine drones to take out some Russian ships in the Black Sea. And Elon went and turned off Starlink when he saw they were going to do that after Russia called him. And I'm like, look, America has private, military contractors always. But why does he still have access to like using shutting it off and on in real time if America, if we're paying him for it? Like Lockheed Martin, if America's doing a bombing mission Lockheed Martin doesn't personally approve of because they also want to sell weapons to like China or something, they can't like take over the autopilot and turn the plane around. It's like it's fucking weird, man. Like I not that I'm for war or violence or anything, but like we elect governments to decide this shit, and one guy shouldn't be able to make his own U.S. foreign policy. And he's not even from here.
Yeah. Fuck Elon Musk. All right, thank you guys for being here. We appreciate you. Again, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. Pre-order my book with Corey. Subscribe to the audio version of the podcast and check us out on Patreon, weeklyskews.com/more. Matt, I'm blazing through these graphics, buddy. But anyway, the important thing is you guys keep coming back here on Skewsdies, and we will too. We'll see you next week. Love you. Bye.